Yeah. Go on and relax your mind. I know that's right. We had a great celebration on yesterday evening. I want to commend the banquet committee for the great dinner that we had and the celebration and the fellowship. It was a lot of fun and a lot of people came out. We thank you so very much. The work that you put into it, it was beautiful. Thank you so very much. Amen. Amen. All right, and into next year, we're going to be also celebrating the Martin Luther King celebration down at the Rustburg High School, and there are a number of our members that participate in the choir, so just wanted to, you saw the announcement, it's going to be on the 14th and 15th, I believe, that we'll be having the rehearsals the Saturday and the Sunday at 5 o'clock at Rustburg High School, and then, of course, the program will be on that Monday at 2 p.m., and we'll have the Honorable Judge Butler to be there to deliver the message for us. So we're going to have a great celebration going on into next year. Amen? Amen? Let's look at something today from Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible, we want to look at that. And there are a couple of points that we want to stress as we prepare our hearts for Christmas. One of the things that we can easily do is to go through a holiday and not really understand, not really comprehend what it's all about and the significance. Now here's the point that I want to make. Every time that you celebrate Jesus' birth, it should be something fresh and new in your life. It shouldn't be just some routine that you're going through. It should be a new level of experience. It should be something that is glorious, something that you can look back at and say, you know what? That was a wonderful Christmas. Each year at our church, we try to create that atmosphere. We can't do it with our human hands, but what we can do is the best that we can so that you can have a wonderful experience about what Jesus means and what this celebration is all about. Forget about all the cares, all the problems. They're going to be there next year. But when you come to this time of the year, we want you, as the male chorus just sung, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's go back in time as we look in Luke chapter 2. The scripture says in verse 8, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shined round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I just remembered I got the wrong notes up on the screen, so don't pay attention to that, okay? All right. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto you. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. May God bless the reading of this word. Look at somebody and say these words, I'm looking for a miracle. I'm looking for a miracle. You may be seated. Just want to give a shout out to all of those that are here today. And I see Jesse Newby from Texas. He's here, and I thank God for him and his family coming to visit, and as well as many other visitors that we have that are with us today. Thank you for coming. Those of you that are joining online, thank you for joining us online, and I'm praying that God would bless through this message. What does it take to find the miracle of Christ? And I will tell anybody, the greatest miracle that can happen to anyone at any time is that you find God. Now, there are other miracles that can happen in your life. You can find fortune, or you can find something that you lost for a while, and next thing you know, you've suddenly came upon it. You might say, that's a miracle. Thank God for those miracles. But the greatest miracle of all is the coming of Christ. Nothing else could happen to planet Earth beyond His presence on this planet. We're going to look at some things today as we pay attention to the shepherds. And that's the beginning of our focus today, because a lot of times we don't really pay attention. You know, I thought about it. Those angels that lit up the countryside there in Bethlehem, it must have been seen for miles. Must have been seen for miles. You can turn on the lights at one of your sports stadiums, and the next thing you know, you can see it for miles. Why didn't somebody else see what was going on? And the answer is, they weren't paying attention. They weren't paying attention. And yeah, Bethlehem was a small town, but they had lots of people in that town because they were there for the Roman census. They were there because the decree that went out, the Roman government had made a decree that you will be taxed and you will have to go to your place that you were born and you will have to be counted, and then it, accompanying that, you pay taxes. Y'all familiar with taxes, right? Every 10 years in our country, we have what we call the census, and while it's to find out how many people we've got, but you've also got people from the Department of Budget and Administration, and they'll go back and say, okay, we got so many people, we can collect so many taxes, and here's what we can do with the money. Taxation is a part of what we are involved in this nation. But the point is, why did not somebody else see what was going on in Bethlehem? The first angel appeared to the shepherds and said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. Notice the word all the people. Underscore that in your Bible, all the people. Now, if the message was for all the people, and ultimately God wants all the people to hear and understand His word, why weren't they paying attention? And you might say that they had a problem in that day. No. We got a problem this day. We got a problem of focusing on what's really important, what really matters in our life. And I can tell you, not silver and gold, not getting a promotion on your job, that's good. It's not the achievements that we are able to get in life. What's really and most important is the fact that God did something. And you'd better pay attention. This brings us to the question of, why the shepherds? We look at them as being these nice guys that tend sheep and, you know, they care for them. And even Jesus said that He was the good shepherd, but some shepherds were not good. They were bad folk. Culturally, the shepherds were considered poor folk. Any well, I saw it say, any poor folk in here? We know something about, yeah. You know, and I The start of my conversion came on the farm when I was following behind a mule and asking the question at 17 years old, is this my lot in life? Following behind a mule. Poor folk. They were poor people. This should let us know that when God chose to send his message of what he was doing, he didn't start at the top of the list. The elite, the kings, all of the great people of the world, the rich. He didn't start with the famous. He went down to the bottom of the list and talked to shepherds. That's the mercy of God. When you see what God is doing, and when he says, unto you is given this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and it shall be to all the people, God started at the bottom and said, nobody's left out. There might be someone here today that probably think, well, when I'm left out and I don't feel important, maybe you don't feel important in the eyes of society, but in the eyes of God, you're valuable. God treasures you. I mean, shepherds were so bad that they could not, if they were called to be a witness in court, they were called what we call a non-credible witness. Because they lied. They'd make up these huge stories. Yeah, man, I tell you, guess what I saw? That was your shepherds. Religiously, they were considered to be unclean because they dealt with Gentiles. And so the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees said, well, you know what? Y'all are outcasts. Y'all are outcasts. How many of y'all have ever felt put down by folks in society? You go someplace and people give you not only the cold shoulder, they just turn their back to you. Any of y'all had that to happen? Now, here's the first miracle. Of all the folk that God could have talked to, he chose the ones that were down and out. The ones that somebody else said, you'll never be any good. The ones that society rejected. That's where God said, you know what? I got some folk I want to talk to. I've got some shepherds out in the field. Go to them. And tell them I'm sending them a Savior, yes, which is Christ the Lord. Isn't that good news? Amen. God didn't reject anybody. And they were able to say, Lord, thank you for what you have revealed to us. And so the first point that I want to make in this, is that you must be aware of what God is doing. Never get to the point where you feel like, you know what, the heck with life. I'm a nobody. I'm always going to be a nobody. And I just don't. Please don't get that attitude, because God included you. God included me. He didn't have to do it. But this God who is so rich in mercy, it just poured out. And when the angels came, they were as if they were saying, guess what God told us to tell you? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A lot of people debate over the fact whether or not it happened December the 25th. That's not the important issue. The important issue is it happened. It's real. Luke recorded it. Mark recorded it. Whether Matthew recorded it. And they each one of them said, this is what happened when Christ was born. He came for a reason. He came to bring peace on earth. Isn't that incredible? Here we are in a day and age where there's war and there are rumors of war. Everywhere you look, people are unsettled. And while you have the major wars going on in Israel and between them and the people over in the Gaza, you have the Ukrainian war between the Russia. You got people fighting. You got people fighting in Africa. You got folks fighting in your own house. And and here's God saying, wait a minute. peace, shalom. When this peace settles over you, you don't feel like fighting anymore. All of a sudden, you say to yourself, what's most important is that we focus on what God is doing. That's a miracle. It goes on from there as we look at the shepherds who paid attention. The angels told them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. And that great joy is something that should help us to move to another level. If you see something and it so awes you, it so puts you into a mindset that now you say, man, I saw something that was absolutely incredible. But if the next day you remain the same way you were before you saw it, you're worse off. You're worse off. I'm going to pick on church folk now. I gave you a warning. I gave you a warning. We run the church. Oh, how I love Jesus. And then after we love on Jesus, we go back out and we act the same way we did before we said we love Jesus. It has to have what's known as an impact. Let me just say something. We're living in one of the most selfish generations that we've ever lived in. Everybody trying to prove that they're right rather than somebody just doing what's right. You don't have to prove what's right. Right gonna stand for itself. Go on. My mama said, go on. Do what you're supposed to do. Go on. Don't worry about who talking about you, who said this. They talked about Jesus. Come on. You can see and you can sense from the fact that the shepherds were impacted by what had happened in their life. I'm going to share with you three things that they sacrificed, and then I'm going to also share with you three blessings that they received once they sacrificed. See, we're thinking that, well, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Jesus paid the debt. But that doesn't mean that you ain't got some things that you got to pay. I know of no one who can come to Christ and not give up their sin. Do you? I know of no one who can say, well, you know what? I'm just going to continue. I'm not going to sacrifice. I'm not going to give up anything. I'm not going to give up all of this. Jesus said, if anyone will be a follower of me, you must deny yourself. Underscore that. Deny yourself. Not only that, do something. What's that? Take up your cross and follow me. Don't let anybody tell you that this faith that we have doesn't require a commitment, because it does. It's called a cross. Called a cross. One of the reasons why our church has been able to, all of these years, be able to move forward, people were willing to take up their cross. May not have been a big one. You don't have to go out and get the biggest cross that you can find. Prove a point. You're probably going to crush yourself. But everybody has to take up their cross. So what did the shepherds do? I don't know whether y'all had land. I was born in Charlotte County and raised up in Halifax County, which people considered, you know, if you go look at it on the demographics, two of the poorest counties in the state of Virginia, you know, Charlotte County and Halifax County. But that's all right. That's all right. And we grew this stuff called tobacco. Any Halifax, Charlotte County folks in here? Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about. All right, okay. You know, and the point that I'm trying to make, it doesn't matter where God speaks to you. What matters is where you're going after he speaks to you. First thing the shepherds did, they sacrificed their sheep. They sacrificed their, and now I know you're probably thinking to yourself, I thought on those pictures I saw on TV and the pictures that I saw on the wall that it had the shepherd with all the sheep with them. They left the sheep. They let go of some stuff. In order for them to find the Savior, as a matter of fact, let's read it. Let's look at what it says in the verse. And when the angels, verse 15, were gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go now. Underscore that. Let us go now, even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. They left their sheep. Basically, they left their occupation. Temporarily. They came back to the sheep. But they were willing to say, you know what? What's most important is I give up something. If you're going to get anywhere with God, make this resolution in yourself. I got to give up something. I know January 1 getting ready to come. Everybody going to give up. What are you giving up? I'm giving up. And then following that, you have the Lent season where preparing for Easter. Everybody going to give up. What you going to give up? I'm going to give up eating cake. Look at somebody, tell them, give up some big stuff. You need to give up that cake anyway. As was said last night, you know you got diabetical problems, right? What will it take? What will it take for you to say to yourself, God is so valuable to me. Christ is so good to me that I'm willing to give up something that is significant. I'm willing to give up something that to me it means a lot, but in order for me to move forward with God, I'm willing to give this up. And if he tells me come back to it, that's fine. But for right now, he's got my attention. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, when God gets your attention, nothing else can satisfy the thirst in your soul. The psalmist put it this way. The psalmist put it this way. He said, as the hart or the deer pants for the water brook, my soul thirsts after God. Can I put it to you the way that Les Brown would say, you got to be hungry. You've got to be so desperate for God that you're not going to let anything else or anyone else deter you from following him. The shepherd says, let us go now and find him. Now, Bethlehem was small. I mean, don't get me wrong. But it had a couple of stables. Maybe even a dozen, maybe even two dozen. We don't know how many. But you know what they did? They searched and searched and searched until they found it. Which brings us to the second sacrifice. You got to put the time in. You got to put the time in. One of the things we do, I love watching people in church. See, a pastor has a good view of people. See, and sometimes when you think he's just preaching and he's not looking. You can see people when they get to this time in the service where they feel like, okay, now you need to wrap this thing up here. And so they'll do one of these quick numbers like this, or maybe they'll go look back at the clock and figure out what time it is. If you want to get somewhere with Jesus, this is a long walk. It's not an overnight journey. It's not just a few steps and you're there. You got to put the time in. People don't get much out of worship because they're not willing, like Mary, to sit at Jesus' feet. In service, Come with an appetite. Come saying to yourself, I got to learn more. I want to know more. If God is real, I got to find him. I remember, I know y'all saying this, Pastor, he tells so many stories, great, Danimo. Here we go with another story. But I remember getting on the plane, going out to South Korea, flying out to South Korea where I'd been stationed. That's the thing about the military. When you join, you can't pick the places they send you. They send you anywhere. So I had orders to report to my duty station, Osan Air Base in South Korea. Bernard, you know something about that. I get on that plane. And I'm sitting down. I didn't know God at the time. I did not know him, but I wanted to find him. He was a missing place in my mind and my heart. I had a big question mark. Who is he? I had an uncle that told me he's Allah. And Allah didn't answer me. I have nothing against people that believe in that, but he just didn't answer. And people over here in this section, they were telling me, oh, you got to go do these things, and then you'll find God. And when I got on that plane, sat down in my seat with other GIs that were traveling with me, and I looked at the exit sign, and God spoke to me through the exit sign. You're going to find me.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know who your angel is. I don't know who the message or how the message will come to you. But at some point, God is going to tell you, you're going to find me. And contrary to what people often believe about God, he's not angry at you. He's not angry. Yeah, God is upset. He's angered over the evil that's in the world, but he's not mad at you.
Amen.
He's not mad at you. As a matter of fact, he wants to help you.
Amen.
Guess what his message is? I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be to all the people. That doesn't sound like God's mad at anybody. It's almost as if he's saying, not almost, but he's really saying to us, I want to be your friend. More than that, I want to be your father. I want to love you. I want you with me. See, we look at the religious side of salvation. We say, oh, you got to get saved. When you get saved, you do all these expressions of stuff. That's just God's way of saying, I want you with me.
Amen.
So I can love you as much as I want to, correct you when I need to,
Amen.
And help you when you need help. That's God.
Amen.
That's the God that you got to get in your mind. And the angels were shouting it from the housetop. And the shepherd said, you know what? Let's get rolling. Let's roll. Let's roll. They searched. They found. They searched. So what do we got? We got two sacrifices, right? Give up your sheep. Then you got to put the time in. What's the third one? Let me look at my notes here. Hold on. I got to write stuff down these days. And it's all a part of paying attention. If you are really paying attention, you're going to give up some things in life. Third thing they had to give up was their way of life. Look down at verse number 20. You might look at that as being, well, that's just the after glow of them coming and finding Christ. It doesn't say that. It says, and the shepherds return. Luke 2, verse 20. And the shepherds return. How? Glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Some of you in this room, you've experienced God in a way that if you told other people, they don't know like you know.
Amen.
You try to tell them and they'll go, yeah, I get it. They don't really get it because they weren't there. They don't know the circumstances that you were surrounded with. They don't know when you made that decision, the joy that filled your soul.
Amen.
I wish I could tell people about the day that I met the Lord.
Amen.
I left that little chapel. I thought I was already saved, but I left that little chapel and I was running. Didn't know what I was running for.
Amen.
just running because I had something. Some of you are going to leave out here today and you're going to run with joy. You're going to run with peace. You're going to run with that satisfaction of knowing I met him. Preacher, I know him. I know him for myself. Let me bring this to a conclusion. Told you about the three sacrifices, but not only did they sacrifice their time, not only did they sacrifice their occupation or the sheep, not only did they sacrifice their lifestyle, I believe from that moment on they were different, but they left with a blessing. Anytime God shows you something, he's also going to bless you. When God spoke to Abraham, immediately God told him, I'm going to bless you. And when God speaks to you, guess what? Immediately he's going to say, I'm going to bless you. Why? He loves blessing people. He enjoys giving out his goodness. He enjoys loving you. God never created anything. I told my wife this the other day. God never created anything that he didn't love. And the very fact that he loves, he must act. He's got to do something. God just doesn't love from a remote distance. God comes to visit, and he tells us, you know I love you. Amen. We would dare tell people. If I told y'all, look at somebody telling you love them, some of y'all be going, yeah, right. That's why I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you, look at your neighbor, tell him you love him. I ain't going to say that. You ought to. Somebody want to hear it, but they're going to wonder, do you really mean it? Amen. The fact is, we can love because God gave you love. You can't give what you ain't got. That's not proper English, but it's good theology. You got to get it before you can give it, amen? Let me hear them close. All right. What is the first thing that you're going to be blessed with when God reveals himself to you? The first thing that you're going to have is information. The internet has made billions on one thing, information. Information. The way that Adolf Hitler was able to sway the minds of so many people, information. He launched a propaganda campaign to turn the minds of people a certain way so that they would do a certain thing. Did you not know that when God sent those angels, he gave us the best information that you will ever have in your life? Here's the point. Adolf Hitler's dead. But guess who's still alive? Call his name, Jesus. He gives you information about God, and he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would never have told you. And then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's information, folks. When you're all twisted in your thinking that the world doesn't care about you, start turning your ear toward heaven and said, Lord, speak to me. Tell me something that I can make it another day. And you know what the Lord is going to tell you? I am your shepherd. You shall not walk. Look, good God, I feel like preaching in here. He gives you information. When people put you down, God picks you up. That's information. God wants to love you and to share his message of love with you. But not only information, inspiration. You know the word, original word for inspiration means to breathe in. How many of y'all know that if you're living in this life, life will knock the breath out of you? Next thing you know, you say, what in the world? You're looking up and going, what in the world? What happened? But the inspiration. Did you not know when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, it is inspiration to breathe in? Some of you need to take a deep breath. Life has got you, how you doing? Hang in there. What are you doing? I'm trying to make it. Number one, you're not Tarzan. You don't have to hang in there. Inspiration means The life of God has now come into your life. The vitality that God would give for you to live in this world has now entered into your soul. Something happened to these shepherds. Something happened to them. You can't help but read and say, they were awed by the angels, but they said, wait a minute, let's go see. We've been inspired. I'm wondering if I could get just a few folk in here to move forward with your life and say, let's go see what God can do with me. Let's go see how much God can use me. Let's go see how much I can help other people. Let's go see. And I told you before, you got to get it before you can give it. But when you give it, when you really get it deep down on the inside, the joy will fill your soul. That's inspiration. And so you say, wait a minute, Pastor. You said three things. Well, preachers all got to, they always got to come up with 3 points. You know that. You ought to know that by now. So we're informed. Why do you come to church every Sunday? To be informed. To be informed, for God to speak to you. There are things that I may not even say verbally, but you get it because you read the scripture. That's God sharing information with you. And then you're inspired. Not to go back to the same old way, but to say, you know what, it's different now. Folks that knew you yesterday, oh, they don't know you today. And people said, no, you're turning over a new leaf. No, I'm not turning over a new leaf. I cut down the tree. The third point I had to search for. And I was somewhere between the words inclusion and involvement. So I'm going to come up with a new word, invoclusion. You say, that's not a word. It is now. No, but really, like the shepherds, God didn't need us. He could have created a whole new universe and just forgot all about us. But he chose this thing called redemption. And ladies and gentlemen, don't think that these are nickel and dime words that theologians throw out there. God wanted to include you. When these angels spoke, they said, this is good tidings. This is going to be great joy because you're included. Al, you included? Brother Jones, you included? Tony, you included? Loretta, you included? When you say all people, you don't leave anybody out. Ladies and gentlemen, who does that but God? I guarantee you all, if you all had a party, you would come up with a list of folk, two of them. One list would be the folk that you want to come. And then the other list would be the folk they ain't coming up in here. But look at my God. If for no other reason you celebrate Christmas, it should be the fact that this Savior didn't just come into the world. He came to include you. Now I get to the other part of the word. Involclusion, okay? Involve. It's easy to say, I'm worthless, can't do anything, not so with God. He wants you to get involved. And that's exactly what these shepherds did. When they had seen it, did they go back and sit down? No. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. That's involvement. You may not be able to tell it like everybody else, but you can tell it. Christmas is not Christmas until you share it with somebody. Christmas is really not Christmas a celebration until you can say, you know what, I have so much of God's joy and peace, I got to tell somebody. I've got to let somebody else know. You can tell it through your deeds. Kindness. Lord knows we need kindness. I've started even being kind on the highway when I drive now. Malcolm, I was a monster on the road. My wife said, slow down. Kindness. Joy. Peace. Contentment. Not rushing, but having peace. That's the message. That's the hope. No, you're not a shepherd, but you are a Christ bearer. You can tell other people what Jesus is doing in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we found our miracle. We've got the best information. We've got the inspiration to go forth. But now we're involved and we're included. We're part of your family. And God, we love you so much today. We treasure the fact that you came to us and we are a part of the all people. We're a part of that. But don't let the message stop at this point. Help us to share what we can and do what we can so it bring you glory and praise and honor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. And if there's someone online or someone in this building today that maybe have never made that decision, I pray that you would give them that strength, give them that ability to say, I see it, preacher, I see it. And I want to follow. And we love you for it, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and hearts, we rejoice.